were coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the situation room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put some on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. For after all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family in your neck of the woods. We have a wonderful program for you today. Today is the day that we focus in on our hot topic. We focus in on our hot topic. And our hot topic this morning is five reasons why younger Christians and pastors avoid politics. Five reasons why younger Christians and pastors avoid politics. If you notice, ladies and gentlemen, our civil rights leaders are old. Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, all of those guys now, ladies and gentlemen, they're in their 70s and stuff, and late 60s and things like that. Some of them already 80-some years old. Some of them already done died and things. And so, but there's not coming up a lot of young Christians. Now, a lot of black folks are getting involved in politics, but not young Christians. Christians not getting involved in politics. A lot of good pastors, black pastors, are not getting involved in politics. They're avoiding politics. A lot of the young Christians are avoiding politics. A lot of the young pastors are avoiding politics. There's a reason why. There's a reason why. We should be concerned about this because for the first time, ladies and gentlemen, in the history of black liberation, we are having now people who are not even connected with the church leading black people. Yeah, for the first time in history, we are in American history. For the most part, the civil rights movement was a Christian movement. It was a young Christian black civil rights movement. Dr. King was killed when he was 39 years old. That's young, ladies and gentlemen. He led the Montgomery boycott and things like that when he was in his 20s, ladies and gentlemen. And so we're going to have to really, really pray because a lot of our young people, they are young Christians, they are not involved in politics. But the people who are not Christians are involved in politics. And see, we got to be concerned about politics. Why? Because, see, Politics has to do with what happens on earth. Yeah. Religion has to do more with what happens on earth and in heaven. And so we got to be concerned about what happening on earth. Yeah. And so, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement. See, that movement was started by some girls, some ladies, and they're not Christian. I mean, you listen to their meetings, and we eavesdropped on one of their meetings last year. We got a tape that had eavesdropped on that boy, and they was cursing, using all kind of profane language and what have you. But these ladies, the majority of them are lesbian and things like that. And so we are having people to lead the civil rights movement now that is no longer Christians. Now, but I ran across this article. There's five reasons why young Christians and pastors avoid politics. And I want to give you those five reasons. Number one is the moral majority forever links the church to the Republican Party. So a lot of people do not want to be involved in politics, is particularly if you're a Christian, is because they're going to connect you with the Republican Party. I know almost any time I can go to a restaurant and I can start talking about what's happening in our world today. And immediately when I say I'm against abortion or I'm against homosexuality, immediately they say, hey, you must be part of the Republican Party. And so a lot of people, they don't want for people to connect them with the Republican Party. And so they try to, you know, be quiet about it. They try to be quiet about it. Let me read a little bit about what he said. He said, we vote for principle, not a particular party. We need to be principle driven rather than party driven. And that's very true, ladies and gentlemen. Martin Luther King even said that we need to be a part of both parties. We just don't need to choose one party, because whichever party is in office, that's the party we need to be working with, because they are the one that's in charge right now. And so what is happening today, people are part of one party, and then when their party gets out of office, then they wait 4 years. They have to wait 4 years before they can get back, before their people can get back in charge. And no, you need to be able to work on both sides of the table. And so that's why a lot of people are not involved in politics, because they don't want them to connect them with the Republican Party. And so we need to be careful. We need to be careful, because, see, a lot of times these different parties, I've heard Democrats as well as Republicans, use the Bible. And we got to be careful, because a lot of people, they use religion, they use religious talk, and they twist the scriptures to support unbiblical initiative. So we need to be very careful. We don't need to just be following people blindly just because that they say that they are Christians. We need to make sure that they are lining up with the scriptures. All right. So that's the first reason, is that the people, they link the church to the Republican Party. The second reason that our young leaders today, young Christians, don't want to be involved in politics is because they say Christians are always against something. Christians are always against something. They verify abortion and gay marriage. They really put down abortion people and gay people. They put a magnifying glass on them two particular sins. Let's just read a little bit and see what it says. Christians are not magnifying certain issues at the expense of others. We are underscoring the enormous importance of them. All issues cannot be equal. If everything is a priority, then nothing is. Those who are bold and strongly contend for biblical truth are often seen as always against something. But if we're for marriage between a man and a woman, we must be against gay marriage. If we're for the sanctity of life, we must be against abortion. If we are for equality, we must be against the slave trade or the sex slave trade, and so on. Speaking the truth in love often results in being against some controversial things. This can't be prevented, nor should it be. And so, I like his opening statement. He says, Christians are not magnifying certain truth at the expense of others. We are underscoring the enormous importance of them. And so that's what it is. Particularly if you are an African American, you need to be against gay marriage. You need to be against, and you need to speak out against abortion. Why is that? Because 40% of all abortions in America are African American. That's almost half, ladies and gentlemen. And you think about it. Almost every other birth in the womb, in an African American lady's womb, is being aborted. Almost half the pregnancies in African American communities, almost half the babies are being aborted. I mean, we're killing ourselves. And then, so if we're killing our babies on one hand, and then we are having homosexual marriages, you can't reproduce. You can't have no babies. Two men can't have a baby. Two women can't have a baby. We're killing ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. We done bought into the lie. We done bought into the lie of abortion and pro-life. I mean, not pro-life, pro-choice. We are buying into that. Pro-choice and homosexual marriages. And we gotta speak up against it. But that's why a lot of the young Christians, they went to school and they got gay friends, and they got friends that done had abortion. And so when we speak out and speak up against that, it's kind of like putting down their friends and stuff. No, you can't take it personally like that. You just got to go with the Bible. We're just trying to give you the Bible. The best thing that a person can do is tell you the truth. That's the best thing that a person can do, is tell you the truth. The third reason why people don't get involved in politics, they say because politics is bad. It's offensive and divisive to divide. We cannot, so this is what he says. He says, we cannot gauge what we say by whether or not we are offensive. The laws of a nation establish the foundation. The government cannot remain neutral or separate from the foundation on which it rests. Granted, many governments, including our own, often fall short. That's why we should strive to be on God's side rather than always assuming that he is on ours. God ordained the institution of government, but he does not approve of every government. Did you hear that? That's very important. God ordained government. So politics is not bad. Why is that? Because God, he ordained it. See, God ordained three institutions, ladies and gentlemen. First, God ordained the home, marriage in the home. He ordained the home, Genesis chapter 3. Then God ordained the government. He ordained the government in Genesis chapter 9. He told Noah about the death penalty. If somebody, he said you could go ahead and kill the animals, but you can't kill any people. And if you kill, if somebody kills somebody, then that soul is required of death. And so God, he established the home, he established the government, and then God established the church. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says, on this rock, I'll build my church. And so Christians must be involved in the home. Christian must be involved in the government. Christian must be involved in the church. And he goes on a little bit further. He says, we don't have to abandon our ethics or compromise our principle to be involved in politics. What good is salt left in the shaker, or light that is hidden? Politics is not a bad word. It's simply a term. Politics refers to governing or leading a group of people. Politics won't save America, but in order to implement change, honor God, and help others, we must take actions, hence the political process. We cannot change a person's heart by forcing a set of laws or rules upon them, but we can restrain evil and deter wrongdoing. To suggest that God does not want us to elect godly leaders and promote godly legislation run contrary to Romans 13. All right, so politics is not bad, and so don't let somebody tell you that politics is bad, because God has ordained government. And read Romans 13 sometime, and you'll see that the scripture says how God said that every government is ordained by God. God has ordained government. Let me go over there and get that for you. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 says, I'm sorry, not Hebrews 13, Romans 13. I am so sorry, ladies and gentlemen. It's Romans 13. It said, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And that's what I was talking about, is how every government, how government itself is ordained by God. So, and whosoever therefore resist the power, resist the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. And so we as Christians, we need to be involved, because we need to bring a biblical viewpoint on government. And see, that's the problem in our land today. We got Christians that are silent, and we got Christians that has pulled back. We pulled back out of the government. We pulled back out of the homes. We pulled back out of the schools. We pulled back out of the churches. And we pulled back out of the workplace. We just so quiet about our Christian faith and our Christianity. and what is happening today, they want to push the church to only speak about God in the church. And so, but that can't be the case. Matter of fact, that brings me to the fourth reason that people are not involved in politics, is because the church and state are to be separated. The church and the state are to be separated. But is that really true? Look, the courts have used the infamous separation phrase to ban religious activity, primarily those promoting Christian principle. Sadly, many believe that separation of church and state appeared in the Constitution, when in reality the phrase does not appear anywhere in the Constitution. Did you hear me? The phrase separation of church and state is not even a part of our Constitution. But it's very clear on this point, especially if you are a student in public school or university, even in a Christian university. Thomas Jefferson. So how did we get this phrase, separation of church and state? Well, Thomas Jefferson, the author of the Declaration of Independence, used this phrase in a 1902 in a private letter written to the Baptist Association of Danbury, Connecticut. Thomas Jefferson was writing to the Baptist Association. Yeah, the Baptists feared that the government might someday try to regulate religious expression. Ironically, we are seeing this today. This is crucial in understanding the spirit in which the First Amendment was written. In other words, the colonists, like the Pilgrim, did not want the government imposing a national religion or denomination on any people. They wanted to worship God freely. And Mr. Jefferson widely agreed with them, as did many of the other founders. His statement was intended to protect religious expression by building a wall of separation between the church and the state. In fact, that the federal government could not crack down religious principle. The government cannot establish a national religion, but it can openly and unapologetically acknowledge the sovereign hand of God. Acknowledgement is not establishment. And so keep in mind, those colonists, these early pilgrims and what have you, they had fled from England and from France and those countries like that, because those was religious states. France was Some of them was Catholic, some was Protestant, some was Lutheran, some was Calvinist. And so you had all these different denomination. And so if you was like in England, England was controlled primarily by the Anglican religion. If you went to Denmark, it was controlled by another denomination. And so in order to change denominations, you had to leave the country in order to change the denomination. And so when they came over here to America, they didn't want that to happen. They didn't want that to happen. And so that's what that was all about. But there's no such thing, ladies and gentlemen, of separation of church and state in terms of you not being able to share your faith. See, the way things are set up now is people is trying to separate us from God. It's a separation of man from God. They don't want you to bring up God on your job, and don't bring up God when you go downtown to the city council meetings and things. Don't bring up God in school. Don't bring up God. It's a separation of church and God, man and God. And that's wrong, ladies and gentlemen. It's wrong. All right. And the fifth thing is the gospel doesn't allow for politics. It's not our mission. And so that's why a lot of people not involved in politics. They say the gospel doesn't allow for politics. It's not our mission. Well, that's wrong. The number one problem in America is not a political problem, but rather a spiritual problem called sin. The primary goal of the church is not to become a political movement, but a spiritual influence. Politics won't save America any more than a dumbbell will save someone from drowning. Nevertheless, we cannot ignore God-given civic responsibility and the enormous impact politics has on our society. American leaders play a big role in shaping the direction of our country. God's word says to confront, confess, and turn from sin. Political hot buttons cannot be avoided. Many argue we shouldn't say or do anything politically. All we need to do is preach the gospel. Well, be careful here. Although the gospel is our primary focus, this shouldn't be an excuse against action. God has blessed and sustained Americans because of our spiritual foundation. Should we not neglect it? Why would God ordain a government such as America and not ask us to be involved? Although many primary calling is preaching, even though our primary calling is preaching, I thank God for Christians who are involved and who influence American political climate. I wish that there was more. As a moral and culture war rages between our shores, the need to be awakened from our spiritual slumber has never been greater. Where the battle rages, where the loyalty of the soldier is tested. Martin Luther said this battle is for the very soul of our nation. It's our choice, stand or fall. See, we are fighting, ladies and gentlemen, for the soul of our nation. That was one of the last things that Dr. Martin Luther King told his lieutenants, told his men down in the basement of Ebenezer Baptist Church there, right before he went to Memphis to get, when he got assassinated. But that last meeting that he had there in Atlanta, at that church in Ebenezer, according to Andrew Young, he said Dr. King was, he was hurt, he was disappointed how a lot of the black leaders even then was being selfish and self-centered. And he was saying that this fight is not about just us getting bigger and better houses and better jobs and things like that. He said we're fighting for the soul of this country. That's what is at stake. It's the soul of this country. So, ladies and gentlemen, we got to be involved in politics. Matter of fact, God said, if my people who are called by my name, if they will just humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, he said, we can hear from heaven. He'll forgive us of our sins and he'll heal the land. All right, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so kindly for joining us. Listen to us all day long because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room. God bless you. Have a good day.